You're listening to 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of KUCI or the University of California at Irvine.
If you are weaker, I will eat you. If you are smaller, I will defeat you. King of all I see, I will proudly wear your memory. What separates me from the wildest beast? It is greed and vanity. And the bigger brain, oh, the shame, the shame.
That's music from Raw Youth with a tune called Tame Yourself, the title track of a collection of songs about animals and animal rights released several years ago, also featuring the Pretenders, the B-52s, Michael Stipe, the Indigo Girls, and others. And I thought that's how we'd kick off this week's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. For the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone, area code 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our terrific new website at talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. So also before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stirring rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily, we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been a little over 3 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have a string of terrific guests, including in recent weeks Dr. Sophia Yin, a Davis-based veterinarian, researcher, and author, discussing her pioneering research on dog barks and what they mean. Actor-comedian Kevin Nealon, the former star of Saturday Night Live, who's a longtime champion of animals and animal rights. Kristen von Kreisler, an author whose latest book, Bee, The Story of the Beagle Who Changed My Life, is a memoir of sorts about her experiences finding, adopting, and living with a beagle that previously had been an animal used in laboratory experiments. Last week, we were joined in studio by Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson from the Rat and Mouse Club of America. And we're delighted to continue in that vein today with Catherine Doyle, who seems like the ideal guest today to interview, seeing as it's Elephant Appreciation Day. And you may recall in May that the L.A. Zoo announced that it was sending an African elephant named Ruby to a zoo in Knoxville, Tennessee, which was widely viewed as a troubling decision for on a number of levels, starting with the fact that Ruby had lived there for 16 years with an Asian elephant companion named Gita. And there's quite a few storylines to the saga, including the L.A. Zoo moving Ruby to Knoxville under cover of the night before this matter had even been officially resolved. And Catherine Doyle has ended up playing a pivotal role because in an immensely clever legal strategy, she brought a suit against the LA Zoo, maintaining that as an LA citizen and taxpayer, she has rights and legal standing in regards to LA City Zoo animals. So we'll hear from Catherine all about the Ruby situation, where things stand with the lawsuit, including a mediation scheduled for this Thursday, and what's likely to happen next when we speak with her in a few minutes. And we'll be speaking with her by phone live, so also be happy to have you guys call in as well with comments and questions for Catherine about this issue. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, observations, and, of course, any stories you might have spotted. It'd all be most welcome. Phone number here, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So let's turn now to important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, or sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We'll also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar if you haven't already done so. Also, if there are ever news stories or announcements you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. And again, I'd love to encourage you to email us at that same address with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And again, really excited about the new Talking Animals website. Hope you'll check out that site, talkinganimals.net. Again, .net. Did I say .net? Okay. Where you'll find archives of the shows, assorted photographs and text, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please take a look around the site, and given that we've just launched it, there are all kinds of other things that we'll likely add over time. But we'd be enthusiastically welcoming of any input you might have, suggestions for things to add, or things you'd like to see us put there over time. And again, it's talkinganimals.net. So meanwhile, though, let's talk turkey, as it were. And this first story indeed came to us from a listener Julie, who actually some time ago was a winner on the Name That Animal Tune. We'll get into how that works a bit later, but she called our attention to a story that appeared in the Orange County Register on Thursday. It's actually an Associated Press article, and basically it's about monkeys and some studies that suggest that they believe in fair play. And sort of have inherited a sense of justice. Let's read a bit of it to you. It starts off, humans aren't the only ones who hate a bum deal, it turns out. In a recent study, brown capuchin monkeys trained to exchange a granite token for a cucumber treat often refused the swap if they saw another monkey get a better payoff, a grape. Instead, they often threw the token, refused to eat the piece of cucumber, or even gave it to the other capuchin after viewing a lopsided deal, said Emory University researcher Sarah Brosnan. She said the results indicate man and monkey may have inherited a sense of fairness from an evolutionary ancestor. Quote, "This implies we evolved this way," said Brosnan, whose work with colleagues Fran B.M. DeWall is reported in Thursday's issue of the journal Nature. "The trait may have helped species cooperate and survive," Brosnan said. Sorry, just going to get a little more music going. And, however, Charles Jansen, who studies capuchins at the State University of New York at Stony Brook and was not involved in this particular research, suggested that monkeys' behavior may have been learned in captivity rather than inherited as an evolutionary adaptation. Rosin says she doubted the behavior was learned, saying most animals, quote, cannot learn things which they do not naturally do in the wild. So, that's food for thought, maybe food for debate. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, if you have any thoughts on any element of that. Also, I mentioned this last week, and I'll probably mention it pretty regularly. There is a so-called animal rescue site that by simply going to the site and clicking on it, frees up monies for various animal rescue organizations based on sponsors and advertisers. It's www.theanimalrescuesite.com. So you just go there and simply click. You'll see where to click, and that gives some dough to various animal rescue operations. So I haven't seen a catch or a downside yet. If you know one, based on sponsors or advertisers, please let us know at talkinganimals@AOL.com or call us 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. A couple other things coming up in the way of announcements. There is a huge adoption event coming up on October 5th. It's put together by Best Friends and Best Friends Society, and that's a huge, huge animal organization, probably familiar with, may not be, but... Anyways, they're helping put together this adoption on Sunday, October 5th at the La Brea Tar Pits. And it's all day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it should be approximately 100 to 125 adoption groups, vendors, etc. And they're expecting upwards of 400 to 500 dogs and cats will be available there for adoption. So you can find out more by going to the Best Friends website, www.bestfriends.org. Or again, you can contact us here for more information if that comes up short. A little bit deeper into October, there's a cool benefit that I wanted to tell you about. It's a comedy benefit for the Buddy Hackett Singita Animal Sanctuary on October 15th at the El Capitan Theater. And as you probably know, Buddy Hackett passed away earlier this year. But one of his dreams, he and his wife had actually... was to create a an animal sanctuary that would be a little different in the sense that it would not have cages, and there would definitely be a no-kill policy and some other elements. So construction is actually getting underway on that shortly, but needless to say, they need lots of funds. So this benefit will feature comics including Jay Moore, Louis Anderson, Paul Rodriguez, Bobcat Goldthwait, Jeffrey Ross, Frank Caliendo, Dane Cook, some of the folks from Last Comic Standing. So that's, October 15th at the El Capitan Theater. You can find out more about that by going to the website for Singita. It's singita.org. And we're going to have Buddy's widow, Sherry Hackett, on Talking Animals coming up prior to that event to talk about the benefit, but also, of course, more about the sanctuary and Buddy's vision for that. So we'll look forward to that as well. And also, as you know, last week we had Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson from the Rat and Mouse Club of America here. And so sort of tied to that, I want to remind you that on October 25th, they're having a huge sales and adoption day and general meeting in Lake Forest. And be an opportunity for to adopt rats, mice in some cases as well, and learn all kinds of things about rats and mice, and even if your rats that you have already need their nails clipped, Deborah's actually been kind enough to offer to do that, and it's going to be cool. There's even a costume contest that day, so dress up your rat or mouse in their favorite costume, and good luck to you. So, anyways, you can find out more about that by calling Deborah at 949-770-0323. 949-770-0323. And I think that's going to do it for today's animal news. Again, any comments on any of those things, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And meanwhile, we're going to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. And shortly thereafter, we hope we should be speaking with Catherine Doyle. So, but of course, this is a piece, as always, of animal-oriented stand-up. It's from Bill Engvall. And it's called Whale Watching on 88.9 FM KUCI. It's Talking Animals.
My wife and I first moved to California. She was hammering on me about going on one of these whale watching trips. Let's get in the boat and go see the whales. Let's go see the whales. I'm like, no. It's a 60-foot animal. We're in a 6-foot rubber boat. We're a bath toy. No. Well, she finally talked me into going. She didn't talk me into going. She just said, you're going. I said, hey, sounds good. So the day of the trip, I'm just whining and moaning. I don't want to go. And we're going with these two other California couple friends of ours who are nice people. But one of the guys is like one of these surfer guys. He doesn't have a job. I don't know what he does. But he thinks I'm his friend because I cut him down. So we get down on the docks, and this guy's like right in my face, like, Bill, dude, all right, listen up. Do you know what would, like, totally make my day? I'm like, a GED? Is that a band? Dude, if we were out in that boat, all right, this would be so righteous. If we're out in that boat and a whale went, right by the boat, just jump right by the boat, that'd make my day. I go, do you know what make my day? A gun barrel in my mouth. So we get out in this boat, and Surf Boy gets his wish. Out of nowhere, this humongous whale comes up right by the boat and goes, and sprays this nasty liquid all over the boat. And the Californians are freaking. They're like, oh my God, he sprayed us. That is so cool. I'm like, hello? He just blew his nose on us is what he did. We just paid $200 a piece to have a whale honk a loogie on it. That's all we did. You know what? Give me the $200. And then the whale made a noise. It went like, ree! And they lost it. They're screaming, what'd he say? What'd he say? What'd he say? I'm like, he said, ree! That's what he said. Which means I just blew snot on him. I'm going to go tell my friends.
All right, you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at www.kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Bill Engvall with a piece called Whale Watching, taken from his collection called Dorkfish. Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals. Perhaps we're not overreaching here. A signature feature of Talking Animals. And if you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature the Comedy Corner, please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. But right now, I want to welcome our guest. I need to remind you first that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. But earlier in the show, I mentioned a bit about this week's guest, Catherine Doyle, who has emerged as a pivotal character in this controversial tale of Ruby, the elephant who was torn away from her home and companion of 16 years when she was sent from the L.A. Zoo to a zoo in Knoxville, Tennessee. But really, it's probably best to jump right into the story with Catherine. So let's welcome Catherine Doyle to Talking Animals. Hi, Catherine. Catherine? Hello? Hi, Catherine.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals.
And sure, my pleasure.
So let's, if we could, let's sort of just get a little context. So just maybe the history. Back in May, There was the announcement that was first made, and maybe you could just sort of take our listeners through that, and then we'll get into kind of where you step in and some of the legal action, et cetera.
OK. Okay. Well, actually, it started even, well before May.
Okay.
Gretchen Weiler, who is the vice president of the Humane Society of the United States Hollywood office here.
Okay.
She's also on the Animal Welfare Committee at the Los Angeles Zoo. And she learned kind of almost inadvertently that an elephant was going to be moved. She received a copy of minutes from a meeting in which it didn't even say Ruby. It just said an African elephant was going to be moved. And Gretchen dug into it, you know, looked into the information, learned that it was going to be Ruby, and started asking questions. Basically, she was able to, in March of this year, there was a special meeting that was set up so the Zoo Commission could hear what the public had to say about Ruby's move.
Okay.
And the room was entirely full. There was a good number of people there. And many, many people spoke on Ruby's behalf and that we did not want to see her moved. And also, you know, the zoo spoke as well. And basically, towards the end of the meeting, one of the commissioners there asked, because the interim zoo director, Ed Maruska, was there, and asked Mr. Maruska, well, is this actually a done deal? And after this, about an hour and a half of people testifying and the public, you know, taking their time to show up and on Ruby's behalf, Mr. Maruska said, well, no, this is a done deal anyway. So the whole meeting was actually a sham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And actually, and at that point, too, I stood up and I asked Mr. Maruska directly, I said, are you going to give notice about moving Ruby or will it be done in secrecy? And he said, no, we'll give you notice. And that was a lie because, as we all know now, Ruby was moved in the middle of the night without any kind of notice.
Well, and then maybe you could fill in, because, I mean, at least my sort of just sketchy understanding is that when, I guess, after this initial hearing that meeting that you're talking about, it did seem to kind of hit the papers. And then wasn't there sort of initially some sort of injunction or something?
Right.
And then even while that was pending, they moved Ruby? Or
yeah,
maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I could tell you that. Well, what happened then was, you know, I decided to file the lawsuit. I filed for an injunction to stop the move, the zoo from moving Ruby. And so we had our injunction was pending in court, and then what we also did, and this is in May, we also filed for a temporary restraining order to keep the zoo from doing basically what they did. And we had filed the restraining order, excuse me, on a Friday of Memorial Day weekend, and the zoo moved her Sunday night. And so basically that temporary restraining order was pending. The judge was going to be ruling on it that Tuesday. And what they did, while it was not illegal, I would say was unethical, definitely unethical for them to do that.
And then that
hit the papers as well.
So when you say it wasn't illegal, it was unethical. So it wasn't really in violation because they hadn't really ruled on the injunction? Was that kind of what their out was? Or?
Well, it was more because, there was also some legal maneuvering that was done there, too, where
okay.
With the temporary restraining order, what they did was they tried to get it bumped up to federal court when it really needed to be in the local court. So there was a little bit of legal maneuvering that the city attorney's office actually represents the zoo.
Yeah.
And so there was that maneuvering. But also, like I said, I mean, it was just, I believe it was unethical to move her before the judge was able to rule on the temporary restraining order.
Sure.
However, like I said, technically it's not illegal.
Right. Right. And also, just even back then, Catherine, I mean, among the things that I think kind of stuck out to at least those of us who care about elephants, and by the way, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it is Elephant Appreciation
right.
Day, so particularly timely to talk about this. But really, I mean, you don't have to know that much about elephants to know that especially females are incredibly social and form really strong bonds. And so that was, I mean, I think among the things that was sort of had outraged people by it.
Sure. Well, Gita and Ruby were together for 16 years.
Yeah.
And these were two elephants. They were each caught in the wild. So they had undergone that trauma in their lives. Ruby, she was originally at Lion Country Safari.
Mm.
And she did have a baby there. And she and the baby were both then, when Lion Country Safari closed down, they were both sent to or bought by Circus Vargas. And Ruby then was, Circus Vargas didn't want her anymore. They kept the baby. Ruby then was sent to the L.A. Zoo. And the baby, though, died there at Circus Vargas. We don't know exactly. From what I understand, it was a short time later, but no one knows exactly why the baby died.
Right.
So here you have this poor Ruby's like been through the trauma of being wild caught, probably seeing her family slaughtered in the wild, and then she separated from her baby, and then now she's separated from Gita. I mean, she's gone through one trauma after another.
Absolutely, and you know, I think it's safe to say that again, you know, many animal lovers, and especially, you know, elephant types would be really outraged by this. But what prompted you to act? Because you really, you know, a lot of people were upset, but you stepped up. I mean, what was sort of the catalyst for that? Did you grow up with animals? Have you long been someone concerned about, you know, and involved with animal welfare issues? Or,
well, I consider myself to be a social activist, and I think that speaking up for animals is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you look back at the history even of animal issues, animal protection, at one point, you know, the turn of the century, animal protection and child protection, say, were together. I mean, that was, you know, those movements grew up together. The anti-vivisection movement came out of some of the leaders of the abolitionist movement started anti-vivisection movements and child and animal protection movements as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I consider myself to be more of a social activist, because I'm also, you know, concerned with the environmental issues, with women's issues, with child protection issues, a variety of things.
Sure, but as you say, they all kind of hook together,
exactly.
Really.
Exactly. Yeah. To me, it really is all, to me, it's also just about, you know, speaking out for something you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And really, in this case with Ruby, I thought, you know, it was time for me to step up, and if I could make a difference, I was going to try to do that.
Sure. And at what point, Catherine, did you start considering filing a lawsuit? I mean, you know, there was this injunction, the zoo moved Ruby nonetheless over that weekend.
Right.
Then what happened kind of as your you know, decision to file a suit unfolded?
Well, I had actually, you know, filed for that injunction, so
right.
That was done in May. But, well, what's unfolded with it since? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess just kind of the steps that were taken, because it seemed like after they moved Ruby,
okay.
Did that sort of compound, I think, the outrage, at least, that I think a lot of people felt? So then what happened, and I guess, you know, stepping ahead a little bit, who came up sort of with the idea of bringing the suit and the focus of it as a citizen taxpayer, that this was really an issue for you as a citizen taxpayer?
Right. Well, let me see. There's a couple different ways to approach this.
Sure.
Well, for one, I will tell you that kind of legally, we haven't been talking too much about how my lawyer doesn't really want me talking too much
okay.
about how we kind of everything came together on this,
okay.
or at least
right.
not talking about that yet.
Sure, that's fine.
However, like I said, just as far as the lawsuit being a citizen-based lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
like I said, I was really, when I was at that meeting
yeah.
At the LA Zoo, where, like I said, I sat through an hour and a half, 2 hours, of people pouring their hearts out, and then to have the interim zoo director say that it was all decided anyway, it just, I was outraged. I was really angry about it, as were a lot of other people.
Sure.
And like I said, I just felt like it was just, you know, it was time to step up to the plate. You know, for me, it was, like I said, if I could, you know, give a voice to Ruby or to help her out somehow. And also, a concern for me is the fact that the zoo actually is, the zoo and all of its animal inhabitants are city-owned, which means the taxpayer, these animals belong to the taxpayers of Los Angeles.
Right, you legitimately do have a say, really, in
we
there.
We do legitimately
yeah.
have a say, and in fact, what happened was about a month ago, I was in court again, during which the judge was deciding whether or not the lawsuit would go forward, because the lawsuit is still moving along,
mm-hmm.
and I, in fact, did win standing in the case, which meant that the judge sent a trial date of March 1st. And to win standing in animal cases is just, it's almost impossible. It's very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
And in this case, I was able to do it because I am, like I said, I was suing as a taxpayer. I was suing to stop the move, but also, you know, the reasons being that as a taxpayer, I would no longer be able to enjoy seeing Ruby here at the zoo anymore.
Sure.
Also that, you know, questioning whether or not the zoo was able to actually make this move with her because it is, you're moving city property. As a taxpayer, I have say in that.
Yeah, which again, I mean, I know you can't really, I guess, get into to sort of how that came to be, but I just thought that was such an interesting, inventive strategy to take, and more to the point, it seems to be working.
Yeah, no, it's definitely working, though. Now, at this case, even though we did win standing, which was really exciting, that was it was unexpected and exciting, And however, where we're at now is this week I have a mediation meeting with the city attorney's office.
Yeah, I'd like to really find out about that because that seems like it's a fairly pivotal
yeah,
step.
Yeah, well, it's not court-ordered mediation. My lawyer actually requested the mediation.
Oh, okay.
And the city did agree to it. To tell the truth, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen at this meeting. I know that it seems like the zoo's pretty much have their heels dug in and that they don't want to bring Ruby back. However, I will be proposing, I don't want to get into too
okay.
much, but
all right.
I mean, but we do want her back.
Sure. And also, I mean, just along those lines, I mean, I guess you've sort of answered some of this, but I mean, weren't there a few instances along this road where the zoo made assurances that if the Ruby move didn't work out, that they would bring her back?
Oh, yes. They publicly and repeatedly,
yeah.
have it in media, in print, mm-hmm. I have it on from a TV broadcast, from a news broadcast. They had repeatedly said, if things did not work out, she can just come home.
Yeah.
You know, we'll bring her back. And, well, right now, things are not working out. I'll address a couple of things here just really quickly.
Sure.
She's been there 4 months now.
Yeah.
And they have not been able to successfully integrate her with their elephants there. Therefore, she's being kept isolated in a very small enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told by someone who has seen this with their own eyes and who I've spoken to on the phone, this person said it's about the size of your living room. It's a very, very small enclosure. One observer saw her banging her head against the bars of the cage.
So that's like a stress.
Yeah, definitely a stress behavior.
Yeah.
And that she wants to be outside. Well, you know, here at the LA Zoo, she had free access. I mean,
sure.
She was always out in the yard. She was always out with Gitas. But now she is in this tiny enclosure. From what I understand, she is, because they have to rotate her into the exercise yard there in Knoxville, that she's let out for approximately 6 hours out of every 48.
Wow.
And even that, I have heard, is not regular, that it could be even longer that she's stuck in this enclosure. If she remains in the outside part of the enclosure, she's on concrete, which
wow.
is really bad for an elephant's feet.
Of course.
Yeah, and she does have some arthritis already, and so it would affect that. And basically, I mean, she doesn't have the companionship of other elephants.
Yeah.
She did here. She doesn't have, you know, the free access to exercise, which was important here. In fact, in the meeting in March, the head elephant keeper, Jeff Briscoe, said that Ruby tended to gain weight, so they had a special exercise program for her. Well, now, from what I see, she's just being kept in this tiny enclosure the whole time.
Yeah, it sounds like minimal
right,
exercise.
And the concern here, too, is that I'm sure there's discussion amongst elephant experts about how long it takes for integration. However, the Knoxville Zoo had, until not too long ago, had an elephant there by the name of Ellie. And Ellie spent 4 years at the Knoxville Zoo in isolation the entire time. And
wow.
we don't want that to happen to Ruby. We're not going to let her sit in a tiny little enclosure for 4 years. I'm sure the zoos have their own timetables on these things, but to me, 4 years is not an acceptable timetable for any elephant. I think 4 months is already too long. It's inhumane to keep an elephant in that kind of enclosure. We're talking about animals that, elephants of the wild walk, you know, they can roam 20 miles a day.
Oh, yeah, easily, yeah. And Catherine, then, so given that sort of disturbing picture that's being painted about what's happening with Ruby now, and it sounds like you don't have tremendous optimism about the mediation on Thursday. So let's say that the mediation isn't all that satisfactory. Then what happens?
Okay, well, what happens next is the city has already indicated they would file for something, a motion called summary judgment,
mm-hmm.
which is basically they'll try to get the case dismissed. And from what I understand, it's going to be tough to beat. It's going to be very hard to beat because technically, the Los Angeles Zoo does have a right to move Ruby. However, we are going to, should summary judgment be filed, we are going to just fight that as hard as we can.
Sure.
And we're not going to let up, excuse me, because I believe that, I mean, public pressure is really important here. That's why we've been asking people to write, especially to Mayor Hahn right now, to write and to call his office and to, you know, let him know what you think about what's going on with Ruby and that she should come back. Because basically the LA Zoo did make a promise that if things didn't work out, they would bring her back.
Sure.
The other thing, too, that I just kind of wanted to address here was that we also know that the zoo, pretty much their take on things as far as moving of elephants, because this isn't going on just here in Los Angeles. This is going on all over the country.
Sure.
And if I can say I'm proud of one thing, though, is that I know that this case with Ruby has already affected the moves of two other elephants and probably changed the direction of those moves, which would have not have been good for the elephants.
Oh, wow. Can you tell us what those elephants or where those zoos were?
Actually, one was at Knoxville. There was an elephant who's still there. Her name is Jana. In fact, she's considered to be the dominant elephant.
Okay.
And she was the one that they tried to introduce Ruby to, and Ruby pushed Jana down twice.
Mm.
So that's been the problem there with the integration with Ruby.
Yeah.
But Jana was going to be moved to another location for breeding. It was not a zoo, and it wasn't the optimum place for her to go.
Sure.
It certainly wasn't. And information was brought forward about this place that that at least put the brakes on that move for now.
Oh, wow. Good.
The other elephant is Donna, who's in New Mexico and at the Albuquerque Zoo. And she was also going to be going to Knoxville, and she now will not be going there. There's possibly she might be going to Florida, which they would prefer, but that's the last I heard on that one.
So Catherine, are these kinds of moves then just being scrutinized much more carefully, partly in the wake of what's happened here with you and Ruby and others?
Sure. The zoos are afraid of public reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Zoos do not like bad press.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. Bad press is not good for zoo attendance.
Sure.
And, it certainly did, especially, I know, in New Mexico, in the case with Donna. I mean, the animal groups there were already on top of it. The public was on top of it. They already even have the support from the mayor not to move her there.
Wow.
So they moved pretty quickly with it. And, it was public support, though, because the public there in Albuquerque loved Donna. She had she came from a very tough situation. She was actually pretty much dumped by a circus.
Oh, wow.
And she was not in good shape. And she was in a truck in which another animal was dead. There were other animals in the truck.
Mm.
Someone just happened upon the truck. It had just been left.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So the people of Albuquerque feel really bonded and very, they feel very
protective.
Donna.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Catherine, are there, either between now and Thursday or even beyond, are there still some steps that our listeners could take, whether it's writing a letter to Mayor Hahn? Is there a website that we could direct people to? Anything else just to kind of make more voices heard in this case? Or?
Yeah, actually, there is a website, www.saveruby.org.
Okay.
And it's still kind of under construction, but all the information's there. It isn't pretty, but the information's
sure.
there.
Sure. And would that also help people if they wanted to write letters to?
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because
that seems like the key thing.
There about that.
Excellent.
And we will keep doing updates on that site as well. And we are going to continue, no matter what happens with mediation, no matter what happens in court, we are going to continue with the public pressure. And, in fact, we were out, there was a really great group of people out Saturday at the L.A. Zoo. There was a protest. And handing out flyers to people, talking. I talked to quite a few people there, and most people did know about Ruby and did not agree with what the zoo had done.
Yeah.
And when they heard about how she's doing now, they really felt, they felt like they needed to do something.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, they were not happy. Because the other thing, too, that I did want to address at the zoo, we kind of know is their stance with their animals,
mm-hmm.
and relative to the Ruby case, is that the zoo feels that they are doing what's best for the species, and that people like us who care about the animals, that we care about the individuals. It's the zoo's job to care about species.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to that, of course, is that, individuals make up the species.
For sure.
And also, I mean, to tell the truth, at zoos, they're not saving a species at zoos.
No.
I mean,
no.
They're not. And in fact, even if you want to take the case of breeding of African elephants, it's just been a failure, been a complete failure in zoos.
Sure.
And I think out of 19 African elephants have been born in zoos, only 6 have survived.
Right. Well, of course, overlapping some of when the Ruby story was first breaking was the story about, allowing the importation of a new slew of African elephants
right.
to both San Diego and the Lowry Zoo in Tampa. So, yeah, that's a whole other issue for a whole other Elephant Appreciation Day. But
definitely, yeah.
But Catherine, thank you so much. Any final words or parting shots? Obviously, we wanted to send people to saveruby.org
right.
to write letters, make noise, contact media, do whatever you can. And anything else we should know before we sort of...
Well, I think that's pretty much it. It's just if you can really, like I said, we're asking people to write to the zoo director, write to, most importantly, the mayor right now.
Sure.
And just, you know, and let him know this is not going to go away.
Yeah.
It is definitely not going to go away. We are going to keep right on top of how Ruby is doing. We're not going to let her sit isolated in a tiny enclosure for 4 years like they did with Ellie.
Sure.
And it's time for the zoo to really take a stand. And all the people on the zoo commission and all the people on the animal welfare committee, they need to take a stand right now on Ruby and what's going to happen with her and what her future is going to be. And I think the public has a huge, huge say in that. The public is just so important in this issue. So I would just say, please, please, you know, make a phone call, write a letter. It'll definitely help Ruby.
Great. All right, so we will do that. We'll go to saveruby.org to do that and make calls, send emails, send letters, do whatever we can, and see if we can get Ruby back to L.A. with her pal Gita.
Exactly.
Catherine, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals,
sure,
and good luck on Thursday, and we'll kind of stay in touch with you and see how this unfolds.
Definitely. Thank you, Duncan.
Thanks so much.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right, Catherine Doyle, trying to look after Ruby, get her back from Knoxville. Again, the website, www.saveruby.org, to find out more about this, to write letters to Mayor Hahn and others, and We'll find out what happens later in the week and report back on Monday's show about that. And so I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine 88.9 FM. And now perhaps a little levity wouldn't be such a bad idea. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. And this is remarkably like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, tunes are always animal-related, usually just by virtue of an animal being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. Either way, like any, we can only provide a snippet of the tune in question. That's the way, of course, name at any kind of tune works. But also, in this case, we don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble taken care of, dispensed with, but also noting there's always a prize. And yes, I did say prize for the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist. As soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI. Ring a bell? Anybody know it? Well, we'll let a little morbid play, since it is not necessarily revealing itself in any vocal. KUCI? KUCI, you're on the air?
Yes, good morning. I'm calling in from Associated Press in regards to updating your fax machine.
Okay. This is the on-air studio at the moment, so perhaps you could call back shortly at a different number?
Okay, this is the number we have on our list, that's why.
Okay, well...
Another number?
Yeah, actually you can try this one in a bit. It's just you happen to call on-air at the moment.
I'm
so.
Sorry.
No problem, thanks. All right, well... So he's, you never know quite what to expect here in Talking Animals, especially doing the Name That Animal Tune portion. But anyway. All right. Well, I think it's as good a time as any to hear a cat song, just to mix it up, right? So from a CD called Catatonic by the Laurel Canyon Animal Company, here's Cat on the Keys on KUCI.
not a sound in the house, slipping away to dreamy, peaceful slumber, torn asunder, or so it would seem. Yeah. Is it a burglar or is it a thief? Who in the world could it be? Nothing to fear, nothing to flee. It's only the cat on the key. His bass lines are crazy, his melody's free. He's quite catatonic, if you know what I mean. Liberace, Van Cleef, born here, have none of that, please. Asymmetrical, ambidextrical, he's the cat on the keys. He's been playing the piano since he was a kitten, with tickling the ivories, he has been smitten. Strange melodies waft down the hall. It's the cat on the keys. His bass lines are crazy, his melody scream. He's quite catatonic, if you know what I mean. Liberace, Van Cleef, on he'll have none of that, please. Asymmetrical, ambidextrical, he's the cat on the keys. Pick it. Hair on it. His bass lines are crazy, his melody scream. He's quite catatonic, if you know what I mean. Liberace, Van Cleef, on him, have none of that peace. Asymmetrical, ambidextrical, he's the cat on the keys.
$100 bill. that where you've been so long.
And I was born in old Kentucky, raised in Tennessee. Any old place that I hang my head, where it looks like a home to me.
Oh, well, yes, you call me dog when I'm gone now, baby.
All right, that's Black Dog from Kerner Ray and Glover. And we also heard Cat on the Keys by the Laurel Canyon Animal Company, basically a pair of guys who specialize in composing and recording animal songs. To find out more about all the animal stuff they do, please visit their website at www.LaurelCanyonAnimalCo.com. So I'm Duncan Strauss, and we've just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to thank our guest, Catherine Doyle, and wish her luck. Which is all luck, really, on returning Ruby to her rightful home alongside her longtime companion, Gita. And again, the website to check that out and get info and to get squared away to write letters to help Ruby. It's www.saveruby.org. I also want to thank you all for listening, and hope you'll join me again on Talk Animals next week when our scheduled guest is Pamela Kerp from the Orange County People for Animals. Find all about that organization and their campaigns and outreach activities, etc. Also, of course, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone the Serena Sharp Show, which, of course, precedes Talking Animals. Then at 4 p.m., it's Jock Talk with Omar, followed at 5 p.m. by Counterspin. Then at 5:30, Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday. There's great public affairs programming like that virtually each weekday from 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again, 4 to 5 and 5 to 6 in the afternoon. And, again, there's a cool website, kuci.org. You're probably there if you're listening online. But there's a full schedule of all the KUCI programming. There's announcements. There's CD reviews. There's stuff mentioning upcoming live performances by bands and speakers. There's links. And actually, we here at Talking Animals have an essay currently up on the KUCI website. It's all about circus animals and ties into our interview with Chris DeRose here a few months back, and Ringling Brothers having been in town, and all kinds of things. So yeah, check that out if you have a chance. And I wanted you to check out our nifty new website, talkinganimals.net. Also, please email us with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I really look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. As always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. And this is the Wonder Stuff with the size of a cow. That's right, the size of a cow. This is also 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. We recommend you catch The Blues Disease with Jeff Scott, which starts momentarily here on KUCI. And we'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.
Don't you think it's funny that nothing's what it seems when you're not looking for it? Me, I'd like to think that life is like a drink, and I'm hoping that it tastes like bourbon. You know that I've been drunk a thousand times. And these should be the best days. I'm a beat over my
Hi, this is Knockout Greg from Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and you're listening to Jeff Scott, infecting you with the blues disease.
Don't even know me. The blues got you, baby. Don't run home to me.